Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, and that's what it means, family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart. Made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form a new species of being. Paul calls it one new man that will be the full dwelling place of God. That's why it's so important for Jewish people to come to know Jesus at this time, because when the spiritual Jewish DNA merges with the Gentile Christian DNA, it makes the full dwelling place of God. And it is going to release miracles like the world has never seen before. My guest is a living miracle. His name is Bruce Van Natta. I'm speaking to him at his home in Rudolph, Wisconsin. I'm interviewing him on his book that is literally just off the press called Saved by Angels. And there is, I'm going to say this, there is a special anointing on this book that you will begin to hear God. Maybe not audible voice, it could be, but in various ways that perhaps you'd never even considered before. This is for average people to do extraordinary events because they serve, hear, and obey an extraordinary God. Now, the thing that's so amazing to me, Bruce, is I read your book and I understand your life is the mercy and love of God. I mean, here you had an encounter with God that few people have, just as a 5-year-old, and you proceeded to live a fairly disobedient life. You would drink, you'd be into drugs. It was just almost a chronic problem. And yet God still kept reaching down and loving you. Knowing God the way you did, why did you indulge in drugs and alcohol?
Well, you know, it's listening to the wrong voice. It's listening to that little red guy on your shoulder and believing the lies that he tells you and saying that you're not worthy of that kind of love. That if you believe that lie, that you're not worthy of that kind of love, you would also maybe even believe the lie that there isn't that kind of love, that God doesn't love you. And so a person makes bad choices, and pretty soon you get caught up in addictions and just things spin out of control in a person's life pretty quick.
You were actually supernaturally set free of this addiction. Tell me briefly about that.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but the long and short of it, I guess, these people were going to go on a mission trip. They needed money. They came to our church looking for sponsorship. I was on a committee. We listened to them speak. I'm driving home. I drive by a van that my wife and I had for sale. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, give them the van for money for this trip. I ignored it because I didn't want to. I came home. I'm telling my wife about the meeting we had. And the first thing my wife says, you know what? We should give them that van. And so I realized the Lord was speaking. So we called them, said, you know what, we've got a gift for you. We're going to give you this van. You can sell it. You can do whatever. Come to find out that same day, they had just sold one of their two personal vehicles that they owned. They had sold his vehicle for tickets to go to Africa. And so they sold their own vehicle for tickets. We turned around and gave them that vehicle that day, obviously all by the Lord. So they come over. We give them, we sign the title over. We're giving it to them. And as they're getting ready to walk out the door, this husband and wife said, you know, is there anything we could pray for you? Never met these people before in my life other than that meeting. And he said, is there anything we could pray for you? And I said, I jokingly said, well, you know what? I've struggled with drug and alcohol addiction for over 20 years, and pray for that. And so they started asking me a few questions, and they said, you know, it sounds like demon of addiction has got his hands on you. And I kind of, my eyebrows kind of went up, and I kind of thought, you know, who are these people and what kind of religion do they practice? Because in the mainline denomination church that I attended, that wasn't the kind of stuff that got talked about. And so they ended up praying over me, and when they prayed, the husband, the wife, myself, and my wife prayed in a circle, held hands, and when they prayed over me, I was seeing things through my closed eyes, this battle above my head, and they cast the demon addiction off of me and away out of my life, and that's how the Lord set me free.
That is so wonderful. There's so many areas I want to talk to you about, but why did you write this book, Saved by Angels?
Well, I have to be honest and say that it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was something that I did out of obedience. The Lord kept leading me and guiding me to do it. And
why didn't you want to do it?
Well, you know what? I didn't feel, and I still sometimes still think about this, that it's hard to tell people about God. It's hard to tell people about His mercy and His grace and His love and stuff when you look back at your own life and look at all the mistakes that you've made. And like I said, and you alluded to, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I did not live a Christian, godly kind of life the majority of my life. And so people that know me, I was afraid to say, oh, you hypocrite and stuff like that. You know, I'm sober now, and I'm not living the way I used to. But because of all those past sins, because of that lifestyle, it would be real easy for somebody to point the finger and say, you know, you've got no room. You've got no place to talk about.
So how did you overcome that voice of the devil talking to you?
Well, you know what? God speaks to us. One of the ways is through Scripture. And when we look in Corinthians, and, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And you know what? That's what it comes down to. When Paul says he's chief of sinners, you know, I'm right in that exact boat. And so when I stand up in front of people and I talk, you know, and that's what I do now. I go from place to place and I talk at churches, schools, you know, jails, whatever. And I can tell them, in all honesty, if God would send angels to save me, God would send angels to save anybody. It's the story of the prodigal son. It's back to that parable. We've got a loving Father in heaven who is waiting with outstretched arms, waiting for us, just yearning for us to turn, to repent. You know, and repent means turn back. He's just waiting for us to turn back to Him and receive the love and the mercy and the forgiveness that He has so readily available to for all of us. No matter where we're at, no matter what we've done, no matter what sins we've indulged in, God is just right there, ready to shower us with His mercy and His grace and His love.
Now, you had a series of dreams in reference to where we're supposed to be with God that I believe will have such impact on our listeners right now. Explain.
About the first month that I got married, starting the first month that I got married, I started to have nightmares, I'll call them, about my wife cheating on me. And it was always the same kind of a scenario. We would be somewhere or another. Some good-looking, attractive man would motion to her. She would go away from me. And it would always end up, I'd be pleading with her and saying, no, come back, please, don't leave me. And what would end up happening is I would actually have to witness and watch her physically cheat on me while I was standing there. And they were so real that when I would wake up in the morning, I would be cold and offish to her, even though it was a dream. It would affect me that strongly, and she would be able to tell the nights that I had these dreams. And it happened roughly, you know, I would say over the period of 10 years, I probably had 300 of these dreams. You know, just putting the numbers together, probably 300 times this happened. And my wife, I'll speak for my wife, she never did one thing that would ever make me think that she was going to do something like that. And so I struggled with this for all this time. Well, one night, I'm having this same dream. And in my dream, this time, there's this guy knocking on our door here at our house, holding a night bag in the dream, and he's wanting to be let into the house. And I look outside, and I recognize it as one of my wife's boyfriends that she had had, like, in high school. And I said, well, what's he doing here? And she said, well, he's going to spend the night. In my dream, she's talking to me here. And she says, he's going to spend the night. And I plead with her, and I said, well, don't you realize how much that's going to hurt me, how bad that's going to make me feel? And she just doesn't understand. I can tell by looking in her eyes, she doesn't get it. And so ding dong, the doorbell's ringing, and the man's knocking at the door and wanting to be let in, and I'm pleading with her. And now typically what would happen in these dreams, I would have had to let the man in, and then watch them cheat on me together in front of me. Well, this time was different. I woke up. Now I'm laying in our dark bedroom. Tears are on my face for real. My wife is laying next to me, sound asleep, snoring, just snoring away, bless her soul. And I look over at her, laying there sleeping next to me in bed, and I repeat the last thing that I said to her in my dream, and I said, why don't you understand how much I love you and how much this hurts me? And at that point, the Lord audibly spoke to me, And he said, Bruce, why don't you understand how much I love you? And there was no question in my mind that it was the Lord speaking to me. And I said, well, what? You know, I'm in the middle of having this little pity party, and I didn't see how it had anything to do with me and God. I said, Lord, I don't understand. And he said his question again. And again, I said, Lord, I don't understand. And again, he put the question back to me, and I still didn't understand. And the Lord said, Bruce, every time that you do drugs, every time that you drink, every time that you do anything to try and fulfill a hole, the hole that you have inside that you try and replace me with, you're cheating on me. And not only are you cheating on me, but you know full well that I can see you, and you are doing it in front of me, and you know it. And so I realized that the Lord had given me these 10 years worth of dreams to show me how he was feeling. And, you know, it's interesting when we look in the Old Testament, oftentimes when the Lord was dealing with prophets, he would put something in their life that would affect them so that they would understand how he felt about a situation. And that's what the Lord was doing to me. And so I got down on the floor just sobbing. I felt just sick to my stomach. And I was crying, realizing that all these dreams were how the Lord was trying to show me that I was cheating on him. And I got up, and I just wanted some comfort. So I just opened the Bible. Oftentimes I'll just open the Bible to wherever it opens up to and start reading. And the place where I opened up to and I started reading, it was talking about Jesus being the groom and the church being the bride. And then, you know, the Lord was just bringing it home one more time so that there was no question as to what he was saying to me.
And I imagine when you're tempted to be involved in idolatry, and that's putting anything in place of the worthiness of God, you think about that and you can't touch it.
Yeah. And I have to be honest that I did do drugs a few more times after that. As stupid as that sounds, as crazy and illogical as that is, I did. But you're right. It's easy to think about that at this point in my life and say, you know what, I don't want to bring pain to the Lord. I don't want to make him feel bad. And it's interesting that we as people, it's so easy, as you said, it's idolatry, and it's so easy for us to put something in place of a relationship with God.
We're out of time, Mishpocha. Trust me on this. Get this book. It's going to open your spiritual senses, where in so many different ways you'll hear God that you've been hearing him, but you haven't recognized that it's God speaking to you. Available for donation at $25, Saved by Angels.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.